Good evening, everybody. Just want to thank God for allowing me to be in his house tonight. As y'all know, last time I preached the whole book of John. I know it was an amazement. Well, tonight I got something even better for you. I'm going to preach the whole book of Psalms. So if you'll... I'm just kidding. I know that was a long, long message. But today I have... had to throw in that joke there. We need to laugh more. We got to smile. It's the Lord's house. He don't want us to be sad. Anyways, today I have, if y'all want to get my place, if y'all stand with me to read, we're going to be in the book of Genesis. Very familiar chapter, Genesis 1:1. And the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Now, today, as I read this book in Genesis, I wanted to go into unconditional love, and that's the title of tonight's message, unconditional. And I want to explain how true love, unconditional love, can only come from God himself. And that's the title of the message tonight. And I want to explain three different ways in which God shows his love. And y'all can be seated. I appreciate you standing with me. So the first way that God shows his love is through his creation. And as we just read in Genesis 1:1, this is where he created the earth, the heavens and the earth. And I'll go through it. In 7 days he created the earth. Day one was light. Day two was sky and water. Day three, sea, earth, and vegetation. Day four, the sun, the moon, and the stars, which also correlated with the seasons. Day five, the fish and the birds. Day six, the animals, man, and woman. And day seven, God rested. I want to go into, I think we take advantage of the creations that God gave us. He created the heavens and the earth. And literally every day that we wake up is a blessing. Every day, we had a beautiful day today. It was a little bit hot. But God willing, it didn't rain. It was just beautiful. And we take advantage of these blessings. We take advantage of these creations that he gave us. And I just wanted to go in to how much he loves us through his creations. Right now, we're in padded pews. We're in a beautiful, beautiful building, Lord willing. We're not on the ground. We're not in some kind of tent. And even if we were, you know, the Lord would still be with us. But the point of the matter is we're in padded pews. We have a beautiful place to worship. And that right there, that's a creation of God. And even though God didn't directly build this church, he led the men of God that did build it to build it. And it's beautiful. And we love it. He gave us light. He gave us day and night. And I know that night sometimes seems, well, we don't like night. It's darkness. You know, we're kind of scared of the darkness. But in the end, it's a blessing. If you think about darkness, you know, what comes with night? Most of the time, you know, if you're not working third shift, or you know, sleep. And that's the way our body heals. You know, if there wasn't night, there would not be day. And that night is a blessing. Just like the hard times. If there were not hard times in your life, there would not be good times. You wouldn't know how to celebrate those good times. So God's creation really does show his true love for us. You know, you can look all around. I mean, we live in a beautiful, beautiful part of North Carolina. You know, we have mountains. We have the Blue Ridge Parkway right next to us. You know, we have beautiful views. You know, it's just so amazing that we live in such a wonderful community. We all, for the most part, we all know each other. We love each other. It's just a beautiful, humble community that I just absolutely love. I couldn't move away with it if I tried. You know, and when it talks about the seasons, you know, sometimes we get tired of winter, we get tired of summer, spring, but they're such a blessing. You know, spring, new beginnings. You know, I sometimes look at myself as, you know, spring, because before I knew Jesus, I was so lost. I just didn't know where to go. I just felt just so empty. But then once I found Jesus, once I realized that his love was all that I needed, I felt like my life had a new beginning. And so the seasons, even though they may seem basic, they are very not. He created the animals. I mean, I love seeing the animals. You know, I've seen deer my entire life, but it seems like in these small counties, you know, we see a deer. Like, it doesn't matter how many times we've seen a deer. Like, oh, look, a deer. Oh, look, a cow. You know, I don't think we realize that, but like in this small town, you know, we do, and we love it because it just shows God's creation. You know, he created man and he created woman. I mean, that's just so amazing. His creation is just one of the most amazing ways that he showed his love. Moving on, he also showed his love through forgiveness. Forgiveness is, you know, we take advantage of forgiveness, but I think that it's very it's very, very important to realize that this is one of the most important things that God showed us through his love.
Yes. Amen.
God not only forgives our sin, but he also forgets it. He forgives and forgets. Amen. Though through his son Jesus, we will forever be forgiven. All we have to do is accept it. Forgiveness is not something that you buy. Forgiveness is not something that you just, you know, you have to earn. You have to accept it. He gave it to us freely. We accept it. Part of accepting it, yes, is getting closer with Christ, you know, having a life through him, but we don't have to buy it. It's free. We just have to accept it. I've never seen such a beautiful, perfect gift that all we had to do to get it was accept it. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. I'm going to go ahead and read in Micah 7, 18 through 19. You can turn there with me if you want to. This is the first part of scripture that I wanted to read through. So it's going to be Micah 7, 18 through 19. And the Bible says, "They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, we will have compassion upon us. He will subside our iniquities and thou will cast out sins into the depths of the sea." That's just so beautiful to me. And what a God. What a God we serve. What a God we have. I can tell you that I haven't always been the best Christian. And you can look in the Bible, some of the most important men were not very good Christians. Paul literally persecuted Christians. David had committed adultery with a woman that was not his wife. Actually led her husband to death because he lusted after her. But you can see that through forgiveness, we are completely different people. You know, and I just thank God for forgiveness. I thank God that even though these men, they did so many bad deeds that they were forgiven and they still are such an important part of our lives. You know, they still have such an influence on us. They're just amazing people because they accepted the forgiveness of Christ. They accepted that he is the only one that can forgive. And look at the amazing things that they did through forgiveness. It's an important point to remember that without forgiveness, there can be no growth. There can't be growth in your life. If you can, and not only forgiveness from God, but you got to forgive yourself. And that's something that I struggle with myself. You know, forgiveness it does come from God and God gives it to us. God forgives us. Even if we don't ask, he still forgives us. But the thing is, we have to forgive ourselves. And that's something that I struggle with because, you know, we all screw up. We all mess up. You know, we all sin. And if we can't forgive ourselves, how can we forgive others? And how can we accept God's love? If we have this burden on our heart of not being able to, you know, forgive ourselves, then we can't accept it. So there's no point of even, if we're not able to forgive ourselves, we can't accept the forgiveness that God gives us. Next point of scripture is Psalms 103. Psalms 103, 12 through 15. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as farther appeareth his pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourish." And I wanted to point out that as far as the east is from the west, he doesn't just forgive us for little things, he forgives us for everything. And I think that we have this understanding as humans, you know, part of our punishment for sin is we think, oh, well, I've done something so bad that God will never be able to forgive me. God will never be able to forgive this or forget this. I can't forgive myself. I can't do it. But that's the thing. God literally forgives us for everything. Now, I'm not using this as an excuse to go out and sin in the world, but you have to understand that God forgives you. And you can't have growth in your relationship with Christ without forgiveness. You can't know God's love. You can't feel God's true, unconditional love without his forgiveness. And so with that being said, you also have to know what cost forgiveness had. Because just like every other good thing, it was not free. We, in the Old Testament before Jesus, they would sacrifice animals. And that was part of their forgiveness. That's the only way that they could get through to God was through those animals. Those animals, they were pure, they were innocent, and what they would do is they would sacrifice them. And we all know this. And that's how we got forgiveness. But God so loved the world, and I'll get into this in a minute, but God so loved the world, he sent his son to forgive us for those sins. Amen. I won't jump ahead because that's a whole different section, but I just wanted to point that out. So as we know, forgiveness, like I said, good part of unconditional love. But I wanted to go through another piece of love that God showed us, and that's marriage. Something that maybe some of us take for granted if we're not married. Some of us that are married, we take it for granted too. But marriage is one of those things that's something that God really, really blessed us with. So I wanted to go ahead and touch on that. Marriage is one of the most beautiful forms of love. God gave us the opportunity to find the one person he meant for us to be with. Marriage is a sacred bond between a man and a woman that gives us an opportunity to grow together in Christ. There's nothing better than a good Christian couple that's going to lead each other to Christ. It's amazing to me. And you know, I think we take advantage of it, especially if we don't have somebody that we love, somebody that maybe God hasn't sent us the one that we were meant to be with. That's how I feel, so I can understand that. But marriage is such a beautiful bond that Jesus created that we have that I feel like sometimes we take advantage of. But the first point of scripture is going to be Genesis 1, 27 through 28. And the Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and every other living thing that moveth upon the earth." So not only does marriage give the opportunity for two people that truly love each other to grow in Christ, but it gives us the opportunity to multiply the earth. That's what God intended for us to do, multiply the earth, have kids. And I don't have kids, but I know that a lot of y'all do, and they're blessings. They're the most innocent, beautiful creatures that God ever created. And through marriage, we get that. And even though Jesus was born of a virgin, he was still born. And he, because of that marriage that Mary and Joseph had, because of the marriage that God wants to have with us, Jesus was created. So marriage is so, so, so very important. And without marriage, there's no replenishing anyways. And I think that it's something that's one of the most important things when it comes to love. That's one of God's definitions of love. I wanted to go into men of God and women of God, because I feel for me it's been a journey when it comes to me being a man of God, because I wasn't always a man of God. I always believed in God, but I was once not a man of God, and thank God through Jesus Christ I can get up here and say that I am a man of God. But I was when I was looking through marriage and when I was thinking about what made it true, I looked in the Bible to see what it said about men of God and what husbands should do for their wives, and I wanted to go to Ephesians 5:25 to talk about that first point. In Ephesians 5:22-25, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that it might be present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish." So when you think about being a man of God and being a husband, they're one and the same, but you have to understand that there is a difference. And being a man of God, being a husband, you have to love your wives. Wives and women in general, they're blessings, and you know they should be put on a pedestal. They're one of the most beautiful gifts that God ever gave us. And getting married, finding that one woman that God gave for us, it's such an important part of life. It's such an important part of growing. And I just think that sometimes as men, sometimes as husbands, I'm not one, but I feel, but as a man, you know, I know that there are husbands out there. You know, sometimes we don't understand that God made us, we're the leaders. Just like Christ is the leader of the church, we are leaders. We're teachers. You know, we're meant to love our wives like ourselves. We're supposed to love them unconditionally, just like God loved us. You know, and I think that it's so important to understand that marriage is just beautiful. And because of the love that God gave us, he allowed us to love somebody else like that. And I feel that you have to start with love. We have to start with God as the foundation. But once you understand that God is love, after Christ, the person you should love the most is your husband or wife. That's the head of your family. That is the start of your family. And so husbands, you know, we, as men of God and as husbands, we're leaders of our family. We have to lead our family. We have to lead our wives. We have to understand that God appointed us for that. You know, we're the head of that household, and we need to understand that we have to have God as a foundation. Because, you know, you can have a house. You can build your house on anything. The fool built his house on the sand. The wise man built his house on the rocks. You can build your house on anything. But if you don't have a strong foundation, your walls are going to crumble. Not only that, you'll never be able to rebuild. But if you build your foundation on God, if you build your marriage on God, if the foundation of your marriage, the foundation of your love is on God, your walls will tremble. They will. No marriage is perfect. Your walls will crack. Your ceilings will fall. Everything. But guess what? You have that foundation. You have God to build yourself back on. You have an opportunity to rebuild that every single time. And through forgiveness, through creation, all of those things tying together, through that, you will always be able to rebuild your house. One more thing that I wanted to say, or one more thing that I wanted to go into, is you have true love only comes from God. True love, the only way you can truly love somebody is if you truly love God first. And sometimes, especially at a young age, I know for me personally, I thought that I've loved a lot of people. And I thought that so many people were who I was meant to be with. I thought that, oh, well, this is the woman I'm meant to be with. This is who I'm meant to grow with. But I understood that if you don't love God first, your relationship will never work. And this is some rough stuff. You know, it's hard to get up here and say that you can't, but we can't. We cannot love anybody until we love God first. And that's just the truth. You can't, because what is love? What is true love? God. And if you don't have God in your life, how can you even think about loving somebody else? If you don't love God first, you can't love anybody. And I think that's one of the hardest things that I've had to realize, is that sometimes you just have to understand that if you don't love God first, you can't truly love. And if that means letting go of somebody important to you because you realize that you couldn't love God first, then that, so be it. If you had to let go of something, a job, a hobby, because it didn't glorify God, then so be it. We have to make sacrifices, but guess what? No sacrifice will ever be unnoticed, because guess what? God made the ultimate sacrifice when He sent His Son to die on the cross. So even though we have to make sacrifices, think about the sacrifice that God gave us. And to point that, I wanted to back this quote, this claim up, because it is a pretty big claim, but one of the things that I wanted to quote it back with is 2 Corinthians 6:14. You can turn with me if you'd like. I know that there's a lot of scripture, but I wanted to make sure that my preaching was Bible-based, because I don't want to just get up here and just start talking a bunch of opinions. That's the last thing I'd want to do, but I wanted to make sure. So 2 Corinthians 6:14. And it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" So what it's saying by unequally yoked, back in the day, and even still today probably, in farming, you would have what was called yoking. And that was, I'll try to explain it the best I can. If you can imagine two oxen or two cows together with almost shackles around them, that would help plow the field or help move different things. They would have, the farmers would get their cows and they, or their ox or whatever they had, and they'd put those shackle-like things. It's like a wooden piece of equipment that they would put their heads through, if I could explain that right. And what would they do? If they were equally yoked, well, they would get the job done. If they were both strong, they would get it done. They would get it done efficiently too, because, you know, farming is a big deal. You know, you can't just do stuff. You have to do it wholeheartedly, or else you're not going to grow anything. That's the same with a relationship. You know, if you're unequally yoked in your relationship with whoever it might be, your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, if you're unequally yoked, the relationship will never work. And it breaks my heart to come to that conclusion, but I know that that's God. But if you're not unequally yoked, if you're unequally yoked in your relationship, then you'll never be able to get anything done. And not even with your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, or wife. If you're unequally yoked with your relationship with God, you can't expect, I think as humans we expect, oh, well, God will just forgive me, I'll just do whatever I want. We expect that He'll always be there. Well, He will always be there. But the thing is, if you're unequally yoked with God, He's not going to work with you. Of course, He'll still be there with you. But, you know, think about your relationship with your parents or with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Imagine if we treated our relationships like we treated God. We only talk to Him when we need Him. Maybe once or twice a week we show up for a couple hours, listen, You know, there'll be times where we won't even talk to him. We'll get mad. We'll get mad because he didn't give us what we wanted. You know, we'd be mad and we would take it out on everybody else. You know, imagine if we took our relationships with each other and put that into God. And it's just amazing to me that he still loves us regardless of all this. But I say that to say that take your relationship with anybody and make sure that it's equally yoked. It's not going to be easy. Trust me, I've had to let go of so many people. I've had to let go of so many hobbies, so many jobs that because I was unequally yoked, and it's not going to work. You're going to be miserable. But through God, we can all be equally yoked. Through God, that's the main point is through God, you don't have to worry about it. So if you build your foundation on God and you understand that if God is the foundation of love, nothing can ever go wrong. We're going to have problems, but we'll always be able to build back on it. Now, the last point that I'm going to make is the most amazing form of love that there ever was, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God has shown his love through so many different ways, but this is the one that I wanted to talk to the most. And the first verse that I wanted to read is John 3:16. I know you all know it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You know, that's that right there, we have to understand, is it's amazing. He loved the world, so he loved us sinners so much that he gave his Son. And I'd like to say that I'd give my life for my friends, because there's no better love than the man who would give his life for his friends. But I don't know if I could. I'm not going to get up here and say, yeah, I'd give my life for anybody. I'd like to say that I would. But I think it's so much more important than I think it's so much deeper than we understand. But God literally, he knew we would never amount to anything without him. He knew that we would sin. He knew before he even created Adam and Eve that we would sin and that we would fall short in his eyes. But yet he knew that. And yet he still created us and he still loves us. And it hurts my heart to know that the only way that we could find repentance or redemption is through Jesus. It hurts me to know that the only way that we could be saved is for God to give his only begotten Son to die on that cross. And it hurts me, but it also, it humbles me to know that God loved us so much that he gave that ultimate sacrifice so that we would never have to worry. We would never have to worry. And it's just so much. We no longer have to sacrifice animals. We no longer have to go to a high priest to get through Christ. He's here with us all the time. He's here with us. We don't have to go through anybody. We just go directly to him. He's the direct source. And I just thank God for that. And I think we underestimate what God really did for us. Yes, he gave us these beautiful creations. He created the heavens and the earth. He created all these beautiful things. He gave us marriage. Beautiful thing. But I think that when we think about Jesus, we don't understand what that meant for him to actually give. You know, that was his only Son. And even though the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, Jesus was the human manifestation of God. That was his Son. That was, you know, he gave his love through his Son. I also wanted to go to John 17:3, point out a few things. And it says, "And this life is eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." I want to point out something. When Jesus died on the cross, he took every single one of our sins. He gave every single ounce of blood so that we could be redeemed. And I know that I fall short in the eyes of God every single day, and I know that I'm not the perfect Christian, but guess what? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am up here preaching his word, and I pray that I continue to preach his word. I don't want this to be about me. I want this to be about him, because in the end, he is the reason. He is who I want to glorify, and I just thank him. The cross is empty today, folks. That's just a blessing. Every day that we see that cross, it is empty. And I thank God for it. I thank God every single day for that empty cross. Most of the time, you wouldn't think that we'd think that we'd want anything to be empty. You know, you don't want your plate to be empty. You don't want your wallet to be empty. You don't want your house to be empty. You don't want anything to be empty. But guess what? The tomb was empty and the cross is empty. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it every single day. The point of my message tonight was to talk about unconditional love, because love is thrown around so much. It's just, it is, it's thrown around. It's thrown around like a baseball. Like, you don't think anything of it. I can't even, and honestly, I'm not being a hypocrite because I can't tell you how many times I've told somebody I love them and not knowing what true love is. Amen. But guess what? You can't know what true love is until you know where love comes from. Amen. You can't know what love is. You can't love somebody until you know what love is. And love is God. God is love. That's where we find love. And I think that in a world filled with so much hate, in a world filled with so much despair, we need love. Love is the only thing that's going to get us out of it. Love died on the cross some 2,000 years ago so that we could be sitting here today saved. And we need love for the next however long we have, whether it's a year, 10,000 years. We need love because love is the only thing that's going to set us free. Love is the only thing that we have as humans because we have so many... we have so much division in society. You know, we have political parties. We have all these things that divide us, which shouldn't divide us. But in the end, the only we all bleed red, folks. I don't care if you're white, black, whatever you are, we all bleed red. Amen. And that's the thing that you have to realize because when his blood ran red, that was where he showed love. So in the end, regardless of what you are, where you come from, you know, who you voted for, it don't matter because guess what? We all have love. And through Jesus, we are all loved. So regardless of anything, love is the most important thing that we could ever, ever have because love is the basis of all important things. And like I was saying, God is love. And without God, we would be nothing. And I know that sometimes it's hard to know what true love is, but you don't have to look any further than the Bible. There's this entire book. This is the book of love. You know, you don't need all these therapists. You don't need anybody because the love is right here. Love is on that cross. Amen. Love was in that empty tomb. Amen. Love was the blood that Jesus shed for us. And I thank God every day that he showed his love because we are so undeserving, but yet he still gave it to us. And every day that we wake up is a blessing. Every day that we look at his creations, every day that we wake up on this side of the dirt, we can understand that that is a blessing. And I just thank God for it. I thank God for the opportunity to get up here and preach about love. Because before him, I didn't know what love was. And I still have a hard time knowing what love is sometimes because I'm not perfect and I never will be. But through Jesus, I can feel love. I can feel the love of this church. I didn't feel, before this church, before I didn't feel love. I didn't feel like I could find love anywhere. And then God led me to this church through some very amazing circumstances. And I'm here. And I find so much love, not only behind this pulpit, but in the pews. Because I think as a church, we put our foundation on God. This church ain't, like Pastor Dan was saying, you know, there are pillars, but those pillars have a foundation. And this church's foundation is God. And I just pray, I just thank God for it, you know. And our country's foundation is God. We were built on God, and if we continue to, and through churches like this, through Christians, we are the backbone of America, people. Us praying, you might not think that you getting in on the altar is praying is helping. You might not think that one person can make a difference, but guess what? One person made the biggest difference on this entire planet. And so remember that we, the foundation of God, is love. And if we continue to put everything we have on God, if we continue to build our foundation on God, nothing can ever go wrong. This world, I'm telling you, you're going to find people that hate you. In John 15:18, Jesus says, If the world hateth you, know that it hateth me before it hateth you. He knew that the world was going to hate him. He was perfect and they still hated him. We're nowhere near perfect. I've done a lot for people, but I've never given my life for people that I knew would never love me. I've never got up on a cross and been crucified and shed every ounce of blood that I had for sinners that I knew would never love me. So I don't know these things. But I tell you, you know, don't look to the world for love. I think that as a society today, we look for everything. We look to politicians for love, people that could care less about us. Because guess what? You're probably never going to be able to talk to the president, the governor. You know, you're probably never going to be able to talk to the senators. But guess what? You can talk to Jesus anytime. He's never too busy for you. He's never too good for you. He's never too busy for you. So in the end, we have love right in our hearts, and we look to things for love. We look to people for love. We look to objects for love. We look to possessions for love. But in the end, those possessions ain't going to matter. I recently, a couple years ago, bought me a car. That was the first car I ever bought. I bought it with my own money. I paid every ounce of money that I had. You know, I worked hard for it. I love that car. But guess what? I ain't going to be driving that car into heaven, so it don't matter. And in the end, even though it's a good car, even though it's gotten me where I need to be, it's gotten me to this church, it ain't going to get me into heaven. And I think that's, and you know, I the things that you love, you have to make sure that God is love first. Because as a man of God, if I didn't love God first, I couldn't get up here and preach. I'm not. This ain't me. I don't know if you can tell, I'm still nervous. This is my second time preaching. I'm still nervous as all get out. I can't do this alone. I'm letting God speak through me because I'm nothing without Him. But because of Jesus Christ, I'm something. And He thought, and another thing of love, we feel so unloved. But I'm telling you, folks, if even though you might not feel loved, Jesus thought you were worth dying for. Even if you think you don't mean nothing to anybody, Jesus thought you were worth dying for. So just remember that even if the world hates you, even if everything in your life seems like it's going out of place, Jesus loves you. And in the end, that's all that we need. Because guess what? Even your best friend, they're going to let us down. Everybody's going to let us down. We're human. We're going to let each other down. So why would we give our love? Why would we try to find love in things that we know are going to let us down? Things that have let us down constantly. Because guess what? Back to what I was saying about my car, the transmission's out of it. So, you know, even though I really like that car, even though it's been good to me, look at it. It failed because it's not from God. So, you know, and I say that to say that possessions are going to let you down. Possessions are going to break. The money's going to get spent. Money's going to get lost. Those people that we look up to, they're going to pass on. But guess what? Jesus is never going to pass on. He died for us, and He's here for us always. He's never going to let us down. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and He will always be the same forever. God, He loves us. And so whenever you think about love, whenever you go home and tell your family that you love them, just understand how much importance that word has. Because it's not just a word. It's one of the most. It's the strongest emotion that us humans can feel. It's not just like. It's love. So whenever you think about love, think about where love truly comes from. Anybody out there that's searching for love, start with the Bible, and everything else will fall into place. I thank God for loving me, even though I don't deserve it. I thank God for sending His Son. I thank God for His creations, and even though I'm not married, I'm praying for my future wife right now. I thank God for it. I thank God for the opportunity to replenish the earth. It's just an amazing opportunity, I think. And there are so many other opportunities. There are so many other examples of love in the Bible, but I just wanted to point out those three because for me, in my life, those are three of the most important parts. But this entire book is love, and every word in this book ultimately is love. He wrote this officially. You know, even though man wrote it, God gave them the power to write it through love. Everything God does for us is love. So, you know, even if you are struggling with something, even if you're struggling with love itself, look to God. I think we underestimate where our problems come from. Like, well, I don't know why I can't love. Because you can't love until you know what true love is. Amen. But so once you understand what true love is, everything else will come naturally to you. One more thing, and I'll be done. I just wanted to say that I love each and every one of y'all. I love this entire church, and for everybody out there, I love y'all too. I want y'all to know that even though I'm not perfect, and even though I never will be, my foundation is on God, and I proudly say that. My foundation is on God. My life, the foundation of my life is God, and I continue to ask that y'all pray for me, and I continue to ask that you pray for your church. Because if our foundation starts to crack, if our foundation gets away from God, it's not going to be good. You can already see what the country falling away from God is doing, and it seems scary, but I'm telling you, love can conquer all. Love, through Jesus' love, through God's love, nothing is impossible. Thank you all for your time, and God bless each and every one of you.